If you would like to turn in your Bibles, John chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. And we'll look at verses 17 and 18. The Bible says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So I've entitled this morning's message, "Condemned Already." Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you would use your word in our hearts this morning to grow us, to teach us, Lord, and if there's someone in our service not saved, to convict those hearts of their need for Jesus Christ as their Savior. We give you this time and pray Jesus Christ would be magnified and lifted up, and we would all leave and say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We see in this passage, starting at the beginning of verse 17, that God sent His Son. That is the heart of Christianity, is that Jesus Christ came to earth for a purpose. And of course, we understand that that purpose was to save. Now, Jesus said Himself in Luke 19:10, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus Christ was sent into the world to save the world. Now, He came to, yes, He was a great example. He never sinned once. He did some great teaching. Praise God for the teaching of Jesus Christ in the Gospels. But His main purpose for being sent to the earth was to die on Calvary to pay for man's sins. As it says here in verse 17, "He sent not a son of the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Jesus was sent to save. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. I want to show you a couple more scriptures on this. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. We must understand this morning, this was all part of God's plan to save us from sin. Nothing was a surprise to God, but we needed redemption, or hell was our destiny. Notice 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. The Bible says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Notice the Bible says that the love of God was manifested to the world through Calvary. It was shown to the world through what God did on the cross. Look on down to verse 14 of the same chapter. "And we have seen and do testify that the Father hath sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Jesus Christ was sent to save, sent to die for our sins. Just, it's okay, ladies. You'll get to play with it after. Good job. So, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, what did he say? "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, why did He come? To take away the sin of the world. He was sent for a purpose, and that purpose was to die for you and for me. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." To save sinners. So we see in John 3:17, God sent Jesus Christ into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And notice He goes on to say in verse 18, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." That word "on" is an important word. To not be condemned, to be saved, to be rescued from our sin, to be born again, we must believe on Jesus Christ. What does that mean, to believe on? On Him. Jesus said in John 6:47, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that believeth on Me hath everlasting life." To believe on Jesus Christ means to place our faith and trust on Him. It means to trust Him. If you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to show you some verses that explain this for us. Ephesians chapter 1. But it means to place our faith in Christ alone. You know, the Bible tells us, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Believing facts about Jesus is not what's going to get people to heaven. Because I guarantee the devils aren't going to heaven. And they believe in God. You hear people say, oh, I believe in God. Well, that's good. But that doesn't make you saved. You must believe on Jesus. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Notice the Bible says, trusted. It says up in verse 12 that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. In that verse 13, God is interchanging the word trust with believe because they're the same thing. It's not enough to believe facts or information about Jesus. You must trust Jesus. You must believe on Him. You must place your faith in Him as your hope for heaven. That's why He died on the cross. And we saw that in 1 John 4, and this was manifested. Next time somebody tries to tell you that they're going to heaven because they're keeping the Ten Commandments, or because they're good to their neighbor, because they've been baptized, ask them just one question. Then why did Jesus die on the cross? If you can earn your way to heaven by being a good person, why did Jesus die on the cross? Well, we can't earn our way to heaven because we're sinners. And that sin doesn't just go away because we do good works. We have broken God's laws thousands and thousands of times. That has to be dealt with. The Bible says that God is a just God. And sin must be punished. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So what about the sin? That's why Jesus died on the cross. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Go back to John, if you would, chapter 5 this time. And look at verse 24. This is the verse, I show this verse to every new believer when they get saved, because it says so much in one verse. John 5:24. Notice it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Notice that's a present tense. You have it now. It's not saying you will have everlasting life. It's saying if you trust in Jesus, you have it now. Praise the Lord. But look at the next part. And shall not come into condemnation. If you're born again this morning, you can never be condemned for your sin. The devil can't go to God and say, oh, so-and-so sinned. Doesn't work. Those sins are covered by the blood. They're gone. They're as far as the east is from the west. You cannot be condemned. And that's what it says. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So the Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Can't be. But now for the title and the most important part of the message. Look at John 3:18. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Think about what that's saying. Here's what a person has to do to go to hell. Nothing. You're already going. That's what it says. You're condemned already. We were born sinners. And the day that we became accountable for our sin, we were destined for hell. You don't have to do anything. Just don't trust Jesus. That's what it says. He that believeth not is condemned already. It doesn't mean will be condemned. Already condemned. You're already on your way to hell if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ. I know that sounds kind of harsh, but that's what God tells us. That you're condemned already. That you're already going to hell. And the solution, as we see, is to believe on Jesus. And then you can't be condemned. Notice in Mark chapter 16, back to the left two books, right at the end of the book of Mark. Most of us know verse 15 quite well, which tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But look at verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Believe not. Believing not is the same as what we're talking about. You don't have to do anything. Just don't believe. And it says, shall be damned. So back to our chapter, John 3. I want you to look at verse 36 this time. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not, here it is again, believeth not, the Son, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Notice it's already happening. The wrath of God is already abiding on him. They're already condemned. The good news is Jesus came to save. The good news is he died on the cross and paid for our sins and rose again from the dead. The good news is he offers us eternal life. And all we have to do is trust him. Believe on him. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. That's the good news. But you know, whenever we witness to people, we always start with the bad news, don't we? Jesus did the same thing with the woman at the well. You always start with sin. He started by asking her about her husbands, and that got into a whole different ballgame. And helped her to understand, oh, Jesus knows my heart. Jesus knows who I am. Jesus knows about my life. He knows about all these husbands I've had, and now I'm living with a guy that's not even my husband. Jesus knows this. Why did he point it out? Because that's where it begins. We are sinners. And because of our sin, we are condemned. We are on our way to hell. We deserve hell. And that's where we start when we present the gospel to the lost with the bad news. But then we go to the good news, praise the Lord, and that is Jesus paid the price. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, Christ died for us. He paid the debt of death that we owe. And if we'll just but trust him, repent of our sin, acknowledge we're a sinner, we can't save ourselves, and ask him to be our Savior, he promises that he will. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already because he had not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. And the Bible teaches it's the same at the final judgment. It says, whosoever was found written in the book of life, or whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life, Revelation 20:15, was cast in the lake of fire. Your name has to be written into the book of life to go to heaven. To go to hell, you don't have to do anything. Your name won't be written in the book of life. And when that judgment comes, your name will not be found written in the book of life. And as it says in Revelation 20, 11, and 12, the books will be opened and you'll be judged out of those things which are written in the books. And you will acknowledge that you deserve to go to hell because you have sinned against God thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times. And you'll be cast in the lake of fire. That's terrible. We just to think about how terrible that is. But God's given us the solution. He loved us enough to send Jesus Christ to die for our sins and rise again that we might be saved. Praise the Lord. We couldn't ask for better. And the next time somebody tries to question the love of God, and you hear people do it all the time, well, a loving God wouldn't do this, and a loving God wouldn't allow this to happen. Just say, but look at the cross. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. The greatest love story ever told is Calvary. That our Creator loved us enough to come to earth, become a man, and die in our place, and suffer all that he suffered. The Bible says he suffered more than any man. The Bible says his face was marred, his visage was marred more than any man. You couldn't even tell he was a man. His face was so distorted from the beatings and the beard being plucked out, the crown of thorns being put on his head, all that he went through. At any moment he could have stopped it. But it had to happen for us. And he loved us enough to go through it. And a person who says, I can get myself to heaven, what are they essentially saying? Well, that's good that Jesus went through all of that and died on the cross and said it is finished and paid all those things, but I want to add some stuff to it. I want to add my good works. Really? You want to put those up against that? But that's what people say. And it's not going to work anyway. The Bible says even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In Isaiah 64:6, it's not going to work. You'll stand before God and all he's going to see is all your sin. Wouldn't it be better to stand before God and all he sees is the righteousness of Jesus Christ? The Bible says, God hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When we're born again, God takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ and puts it on our account. And when we stand before God, that's what God sees. A sinless person. It's amazing that people as wicked as us can actually be seen as sinless, but that's something that God chose to do. That's love. And that's what he means when he says, we'll not be condemned. So it's a great truth. It's a simple truth. But we, as God's children, we must understand when we are out there mingling with the world and working with people and people that we live beside and our family, if they haven't believed in Jesus Christ, the Bible says they're condemned already. And we have the solution in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We just need to present it. Leave the rest up to them and God. But at least give them an opportunity to be rescued from their sin and from the consequences of their sin. And to believe on Jesus Christ and not be condemned. And praise God, I hope you've done that this morning. And if you haven't, in a few moments you'll have an opportunity to say, I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't want to be condemned. I want to get that settled and know I'm going to heaven and my sins are forgiven. And you can do that today.